Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
I'd like to have a banana split. And I'd like to have three scoops of ice cream, vanilla, and chocolate, and strawberry.
Now, Mark Reardon.
He's kind of a dumb guy, you know.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
I feel like, Dave, it's a miss here, and we should have had some sort of, like, nuclear bomb explosion sound effect that went off
right
at the beginning of the show. But we've both been so busy today for separate and similar reasons that I forgot to do that. You know, so here's, some people know what's going on. For those of you who don't, I'm going to tell you, but I'm also going to tell you that my, I got to be careful here because I'm not officially in this new position yet. My idiot boss says, oh yeah, you can go on, Steve Moore, talk about this. So I tweeted it out and I said I'm going to talk about it at 2 o'clock, and then he's like, oh wait, hey, what, maybe the other person isn't going to talk about this until 3 o'clock, so let's do it at the same time. Well, now I can't do that because Holloman's got a piece in the Post-Dispatch and it's out there on Twitter, but I'll share more thoughts, if you will, coming up at 3 o'clock. Because, and this is a blockbuster. It really is. And I did not know about it until Wednesday morning. I was given a call by my bosses, and I wasn't really asked. I was told. They said, well, Dave Glover's show. Dave Glover is on 97.1, our FM talk station. Entercom, my company, owns both KMOX and 97.1. They've been in the fold for, I think, 4 years now. I think it's four. It seems like last year was the the lost year. So I have been on KMOX Afternoon Drive since 2008, been at the station since 2006. Dave Glover helped really build that station into the FM talk powerhouse that it has become. He's been there for 20 years. We're doing a trade. And as I told Dave, I just hope that neither of us are going to the Jets or the Lions or the Jaguars at this point, because Dave will be coming to KMOX on, I think the date is March 22nd. I will start at 97.1 KFTK on the FM dial. Back to my FM roots. I started in FM radio. I spent many years in FM music radio, and then I was a news person. I'll start the new show on the 29th of March. Good news for Dave Klein. You got rid of me, Klein. I think it's been one of your goals for a while here. Try to get Reardon out the door, down the hall to another radio station, and congratulations. You've achieved this.
Well, in my case, it only took 9 years, so, you know.
Well, it is. It's a big move. It's a big move for me personally. It's a big move for the station. I'm going to share some further thoughts, like I said, at 3 o'clock, because I was encouraged not to do as much here, even though I had planned on the whole monologue being about this, but we'll do that at 3 o'clock. And, you know, I'm a bit sad because I've been with this radio station for a long time. So there's some emotions that are creeping in, and that's just natural. But overall, I think it's going to be a really good thing. There's going to be some elements that certainly will continue, like the Reardon Roundtable. And look, Dave Glover is a great broadcaster, and he does his thing in a very unique way. I don't know him very well, and I haven't, you know, been able to listen to his show as much as certainly I probably would if I was on a different day part. But he'll be on from 2 to 3 so I can warm up before 3 o'clock listening to Glover on KMOX. We'll have much more on this as we get through the afternoon. A lot to say, and we'll be talking about it here in the next few weeks quite a bit as well. It's gonna time out well because I have this trip. They wanted me to start. I think they wanted this to start next week or the following week, and I said, hey, guys, I'm going to Mexico. If I can get on that airplane on the 20th of March to go to Todos Santos, Mexico, I'm certainly going to do that. All right, so we'll revisit this major blockbuster topic here in just a little bit. Let's talk about what's coming up on the show here today. This COVID relief thing, and this is again where we get into a situation. There's absolutely no reason why CNN, The Washington Post, New York Times, well, we know the reason, why major news outlets should not be addressing this COVID supposed relief bill and looking at some of the nonsense that's inside. But they won't do that because now Joe Biden is president. Now, we knew this was going to happen. I also told you that every little thing is going to be framed around race and gender, which basically has happened for the last couple of months. But some of this is nonsense. And the minimum wage thing is probably the biggest piece of nonsense. And let me explain that. And Papa John is going to explain it for you here in just a second. We do have Doug High coming up here in just a couple of minutes to analyze some of this stuff. Congresswoman Wagner a little later. Mark Gelman, my friend from the Gelman team. Good Lord, he better go with me over to 97.1. I think he advertises on both, but Mark's a friend, and we're going to talk about real estate and the Cardinals. We're back in action, and I think we have a game. Dave, when's the first game this week on the air? Don't we have one on Wednesday afternoon?
Yeah, I think Wednesday at noon, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have a little bit of an interruption on Wednesday, but we don't get as many of those with spring training as we used to. On the bill that passed, and let's talk about the minimum wage. John Shatner, who is Papa John, wrote a piece that I think really puts it into perspective. A lot of you who are small business owners, you get this. And I think that it's important to recognize that the minimum wage in San Francisco should be different than the minimum wage in St. Louis, Missouri, because you have different economies. I mean, you can't buy a starter house in the San Francisco area for under $500,000. Now, that might be a slight exaggeration, but maybe only slight. So John Shatner, Papa John, says, to illustrate the flaws of socialist thinking about the wealth distribution, legendary free market economist Milton Friedman was fond of telling people that the economy isn't a pizza, with only so many slices available to be divided fairly among everyone. In reality, Friedman explained, the economy is technically limitless. One person's having X amount of money does not mean that there is only Y amount of money left over for everyone else. Makes sense so far, right? But he says, while pizza may not be a totally applicable metaphor for the economy as a whole, it's an excellent metaphor for small businesses' operating budget, which is why this nonsense, my words, but he said the proposal to raise the federal minimum wage from $7.25 to $15 an hour will be harmful to small business entrepreneurs and people they employ. Now, we talked about this on the roundtable on Friday. Again, don't misinterpret this as me saying or John Shatner or even other Republicans as saying there shouldn't be an increase in the minimum wage. In a phase-in over time. In the state minimum wage, I think that's why you address it there, because it's tough to do this federally because of some of the differences in the markets and just the economy's different from across the country, low cost of living in some spots. Think of Columbia, Missouri, or some of the smaller communities that are still awesome, Springfield, Missouri. They're not San Francisco, and they don't have the housing prices and other things. So he talks about in the piece, this is on realclearpolitics.com, how you hear this all the time, and I get so sick and tired of it. The minimum wage is not a living wage, and it's not enough to lift people out of poverty. Yeah, it's not, because it's the minimum wage. It's the minimum wage. But the irony is raising the minimum wage would push more people into poverty than lifting out of poverty. And why many people who are on the other side of the aisle, and Democrats don't see this, I don't get it. Small business owners, he wrote, need to pay for utilities, product, advertising, insurance. Really, they got to pay a lot for advertising, but that's a big part of it, small businesses. You should do more of that. Insurance, taxes, wages, just to name a few things. But business owners only have a limited amount of money to spend on this stuff, an amount that is tied directly to their revenue. The government can arbitrarily go ahead and increase the minimum wage, but it can't wave a magic wand and give small businesses the extra revenue to absorb the cost of that wage hike. So, more than doubling the current federal minimum wage will leave small business owners with few choices. Increase costs for the customer, cut costs at the product level by going for lower quality, cut the number of employees and the hours they work, or stop doing business altogether. There are only so many slices in a pizza. So he cites, and this was the CBO, oft-cited during the Trump years, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimating that the wage increase would come at a cost of 1.4 million jobs. And this was a quote from the report that, quote, young, less educated people would account for a disproportionate share of those reductions in employment. That shouldn't be happening on the tail of a pandemic or still in the middle of a pandemic, should it? But that's what's getting passed right now. And hopefully, I would have some hope that that's going to be stripped on the Senate side, because the House passes this overwhelmingly. The Senate's going to strip some of these things out. The restaurant industry in particular, he cites here, because look, they've been devastated. There's a survey in New York City taken a month after New York City raised its minimum wage. 36% of restaurants resorted to layoffs. 90% had increased prices. So a year after the wage hike, roughly 77% of the restaurants had cut employee hours, 4,000 jobs lost. So it's not really that difficult, and why you still have to have these arguments. And by the way, and I think that when you have the arguments against the federal minimum wage doubling, that doesn't mean you can't have an argument about a phase-in of the minimum wage on a state level, which is happening, by the way, in Missouri. It's 2:15. We'll take a break. We're off and running here. Some big radio news. The trade announced between 97.1, our sister station, and KMOX. My show headed to the FM dial in about... There you go, 2:16. We'll roll on here in a moment. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it on KMOX. All right, welcome back, 2:20. Congresswoman Ann Wagner is going to join me at the bottom of the hour. We had some big news announced a few minutes ago, and I'll have much more to say on that at 3:05, right after the news on KMOX. Welcome back to the program, former spokesman for the RNC. You occasionally see him on CNN as well. He's one of our go-to political guys inside the Beltway. Doug High is with me this afternoon. How are you, Doug High?
I'm great. It's good to be with you.
Where would you say the... first couple of months here of the Biden administration, how would you rate that out at this point?
You know, these days I find everything so upside down that it's hard to really do. When people ask me, do I approve or disapprove? You know, the reality is most of what this administration is going to do and is doing, I disapprove of. But I'm happy that we have, a level of competence in the White House that we haven't had for a while. I'm happy that he's been able to send the right messages to our allies and maybe more importantly, our adversaries in doing things that, Trump either just would not do or was incapable of. Certainly what we've seen with the vaccines are going well. I think that would have happened under Trump as well. But Biden has shown leadership here where Trump hasn't. For instance, we just found out that Trump got the vaccine. That sure would have been a powerful image to see him do so and send the right signal to a lot of his supporters who are skeptical of getting the vaccine that they need to get it, because any shot in any arm helps everybody.
I completely agree with you on that. You know what's interesting? And this has been a crazy day for a variety of reasons, Doug, as you're aware. We made some big announcements and things along those lines.
Yeah.
But I just remembered, this is how crazy this is. I just remembered in my conversation here with you that Donald Trump gave an address at CPAC yesterday. And I also just remembered that I've seen literally no coverage of that the entire day. So it's almost like, to a certain extent, the media doesn't even want to touch him. They don't want to even acknowledge that he exists, which is a little weird.
Well, look, I think part of that is former presidents do not command the president, the presence that current presidents do. They just don't, even Trump. And the fact that we don't have Trump tweeting and so forth limits things. I've seen coverage on CNN and on MSNBC. Fox covered it live. But also, what did Donald Trump say new yesterday? Absolutely nothing. He doesn't like Democrats. Okay, we know that. He doesn't like Republicans who are critical of him. We knew that already. He thinks he won the election in 2020. We knew that. So there was nothing new here. And then ultimately, what did he do? he teased that maybe he's going to run in 24, maybe not. We don't know. And as everything with Donald Trump in his presidency, it was geared for tune in next week to find more. And so he didn't say anything of any real substance. So I don't think there was anything that really merits a lot of substantive coverage.
Well, so let's go back to what happened with Liz Cheney and Kevin McCarthy last week in that awkward moment where, you know, they were asked about this speech, because obviously there's a division among leadership when it comes to the role that Trump has in the party. He says, look, I'm still running this party. We know where the majority of the 74 million people still are on Donald Trump, and they don't trust the election results, all these things that we've heard for the past several months. So there's a couple of ways that this could go. He could start to fade away because there's not going to be a lot of coverage. He doesn't have a social media presence. Or does he somehow maintain a bit of a stranglehold? What did you make of that moment with Liz Cheney and Kevin McCarthy last week?
I made nothing of that moment, to be honest. I thought, in fact, it was overplayed. We knew that Liz Cheney and Kevin McCarthy were in different places when it comes to Trump. And so what did they say? They're in different places when it comes to Donald Trump. They told us exactly what we already knew. They just did it in front of a camera in a way that we hadn't seen before. So it was different optics of the exact same answer. I thought it got way too much attention.
I'm going to have Congresswoman Ann Wagner on here in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about COVID relief, but you know, I'm stunned about some of the things that are in this relief bill that most of the media doesn't even want to give attention to. Now, I do think that the Republicans, when they're going to complain or climb, you know, I guess just bitch and moan about the deficit numbers, you've lost me on that because of the last 4 years. However, there are some things in this that don't belong. It's getting, you know, ramrodded through. I think the Democrats know that it polls well, it's popular. But shouldn't this be something that gets examined a little bit more, even from the media?
Absolutely. And, you know, it would be a real opportunity for Republicans to drive home this message of how much of this bill is not about COVID relief. To put more, I think, substantive alternatives together, they really haven't. Granted, it can be difficult for Republicans to agree on anything except for saying no sometimes. You know, but a good example is funding for schools. You know, I've seen a couple of press conferences where, you know, Jen Psaki has said, well, this includes monies for schools to reopen. Well, there's already $64 billion that hasn't been spent to reopen schools. So to say that this bill is what's going to do it just isn't true. I think if you look at the polling on this bill, no one knows what's in the bill. Nancy Pelosi, you could almost hear her saying again, we have to pass it to find out what's in it. People are saying they want relief for COVID. Okay, we get that. And that's with real merit. This bill doesn't cover it. They just hear COVID relief bill. I want COVID relief, therefore.
Yes. Yeah. Even though it's not really relief.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's frustrating, because I think that one of the things that I'm worried about just moving forward is how aggressive, and you could use the Andrew Cuomo situation as an example here, how aggressive the mainstream media will be at tracking down what I think are pretty serious charges. Now, in, you know, in Cuomo's case, he's got both the nursing home scandal and now this Me Too moment that's going on. What do you make of that, Doug High?
Well, I'll tell you, I emailed a friend last week. This is before the second accuser. And this is somebody who's a Democrat, very heavily involved in Me Too and Time's Up issues. And I said, when are we going to see the T-shirts of I Believe the Accusers, like we saw with Christine Blasey Ford? And the response I got was, LOL, right? So we know that there is a double standard at play when Democrats are accused of the same thing that Republicans are. But Cuomo is... and we saw a very slow movement on from Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand. You know, Kirsten Gillibrand was one of the real ringleaders in pushing the accusation against Brett Kavanaugh. It took her a while to really say anything, and all she said, the same as Schumer, is, well, this needs to be investigated by the Attorney General. Republicans don't get that benefit of the doubt, certainly, from Gillibrand or Schumer or others. Cuomo's in big trouble. And ultimately, you know, what this may play out is maybe it doesn't force him out, but it forces him not to run for re-election.
Doug High, you going to join me on the FM dial? You okay with that?
I mean, there'll be less static on FM, so that may be better or worse for everybody. I don't know.
I think it's going to be a good thing, Doug High. Yeah, thank you. We'll talk soon. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, and on the Trump front, I didn't even think, I really, honestly, because this has been such a crazy day and I didn't see a lot of media coverage, but let's play what he said. So yesterday, Dave, let's play a couple of bites here before we have to get to the break. He talked about how, you know, there's a bunch of rhinos and don't trust the rhinos. He named the Republicans he doesn't like.
The Democrats don't have grandstanders like Mitt Romney, Little Ben Sasse, Richard Burr, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Pat Toomey. And of course, the warmonger, a person that loves seeing our troops fighting, Liz Cheney. How about that?
Interesting he did not mention McConnell. And he said he's not starting a new party. He's still the leader of this party.
But who knows? Who knows? I may even decide to beat them for a third time. Okay?
There he is. All right. Much more on that. We'll get some reaction from Congressman Wagner, maybe, on that. She's coming up after the news on KMOX. Hang in there. Welcome back. 236 on the Mark Reardon Show. We're joined by Missouri Congresswoman from the 2nd District, Ann Wagner, back with us. Ann, how are you? How's your Monday? Mine's been pretty boring overall. How are you doing today?
Oh, I bet it has. I don't think so. I'm getting ready to hop on a plane here this afternoon and head back. We've got votes tonight and another full week. Just been home for about 36 hours, but boy, what a difference 36 hours makes. Congratulations on your big announcement. Tell me, what does it mean, Mark?
Yeah, so big news for folks who missed it a little earlier in the hour. There's been a trade, and it's not J.J. Watt to the Cardinals, which also was announced today. I will be moving to our FM talk station, 97.1. I think maybe some people are confused because we've owned that station. When I say we've, Entercom has owned that station now, I think it's 4 years. They've been in our building, as you know, and they're on the other side of the building. Dave Glover, who has had a monster giant presence on that radio station for 20 years, is going to move to KMOX. From 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., my final day is going to be in a few weeks, and I'm going to do 3 to 6. I think it's a good thing for both of us. I'm going to miss KMOX so much, but, Ann, I'm still going to be here. And according to Glover, I can say naughtier things on the radio on the FM dial. So I'm very excited about that. I'm really excited to, you know, maybe use mild profanity.
But I am excited about your move. Congratulations, really. It's I think it's a great opportunity for you and at a terrific time slot. So congrats, man. Really great.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes change is a good thing. But let's talk about what's going on in Washington right now. I spent a little time on this last week with the COVID relief bill. So, I mean, there's nothing, I guess you couldn't do anything in the House from preventing this, but there's all these little items in here that should not be in the COVID relief bill.
I
because of the
even
numbers, you didn't have a chance to stop it.
I refuse to even call it a COVID relief bill. It is, frankly, Nancy Pelosi's $1.9 trillion, you know, liberal wish list, stimulus budget, whatever you want to call it, because only about 9%, or I should say less than 9%, will actually go towards combating COVID-19 through our public health spending. So it's really, really sad. Almost half, outside the stimulus, almost half will not even be spent this year. Most of it will be spent in years 2022 to 2028, when I hope we aren't going to have a national pandemic. So, and yes, to your point, we offered, we had some 227 amendments shot down. I had three really great ones that focused on getting vaccines into communities so businesses can reopen and people can feel safe. I had a set aside that provided for funding for women and veteran-owned businesses, small businesses that have really been hurt. It's really sad because when it comes to COVID relief, Mark, we did five really bipartisan packages and in Congress over the last year, and it was give and take. You know, I didn't love everything that was in it. The Democrats didn't love everything that was in it, but this has been slammed right through. It was passed at 2 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning. I was there. Not one Republican voted for it, and we even picked up some Dems. A couple of Dems voted against it. So it's sad. It's sad. We've got $1 trillion that still hasn't been spent. You know, Mark, one of the last times we talked about this was about, in terms of COVID relief, was in late December when we passed the $900 billion response. So there's a ton of money still out there in the system. This is not targeted, timely, or frankly tied to COVID. That's just the fact of it.
Well, that's the main issue that I would have. But here again, now you have another big partisan split. Not one Republican voted for this American Rescue Plan, as they're calling it. And there are a lot of things I think Republicans would support in this bill, but there's so much that is just nonsense and should not be included. That's the main issue. Now, you'd have to have a little bit of hope that the Senate's going to strip some of this.
I hope so. You know, it looks like they're going to bounce the $15 mandatory minimum wage. So that would have been, according to Congressional Budget Office, would have been anywhere from probably $1.5 to $3 million jobs there on an industry that's been really hurt. Remember, we should be providing relief for our small businesses, our restaurant and entertainment industries, people who have really been inordinately affected by the pandemic. This is about getting people vaccines. Vaccines, vaccines, vaccines. They need larger supply, larger distribution networks. A lot of our country, their schools aren't open. And the money that's in this particular bill doesn't even tie the funding to reopening schools. And we've got $60 billion left still to help the schools get set up for full-time class learning. You know, Missouri and specifically St. Louis, some are doing hybrid still, but a lot of our kids are back in the classroom. But they're putting another $130 billion in, and guess what? Not a penny of it will be spent till 2022. So it's just absolutely ridiculous. You've got earmarks in here. Chuck Schumer's got his bridge connecting New York and Canada. Pelosi's got a subway to Silicon Valley, $112 million. I mean, like I said, National Endowment for the Arts.
Well,
I can go on and on and on.
Making,
it's crazy.
The sausage making is always rather uncomfortable for a lot of people. But the first bill, the Coronavirus Preparedness and Response Supplemental Appropriations Act, passed the House 415-2, the Senate 96-1 last March. The second bill passed the House 363-40, the Senate by 90-8. The third, the CARES Act, passed the Senate unanimously and cleared the House in a voice vote. So then you have another one, because President Trump signed something after Christmas, 92-6. The House passes it 359-53. So are you then, because I think your vote was correct on this and the Republicans' vote was correct against it, but the bottom line is, don't the Democrats kind of win because the polling shows that these things are popular and most people aren't going to pay attention to some of the outrageous nuance in here that you're trying to highlight?
Well, you know, it's our job to get the message out, which is why I'm talking to you and shouting it from the highest mountain that this is not timely. This is not targeted. It is not tied to COVID. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's really just adding debt to their children and their grandchildren. This is $1.9 trillion, most of which will be spent well outside of 2022, all the way up to 2028. It rewards blue states. You know how they're going to give the money out? Over $500 billion in the state and local bailout. They're going to give it out to those that have average unemployment that is high. We gave it out, our bipartisan packages, by population. So if you're in Illinois
let's talk about that. That's very important, right? Because here, this is going to reward states like California, New York, and Illinois that destroyed businesses.
Correct. Our unemployment in Missouri is low, so we're big losers here, great big losers here. And this is a pension bailouts for unions. You've got, like I said, rewarding those that really put onerous lockdowns on their businesses that remain so. I mean, we're still digging out of that here in the St. Louis metro area. But this is, you know, like I said, it's really disappointing to me. You know, this president said President Biden that he wanted to unify, to work with us. They slapped back every single good common sense amendment. As I said, even two Democrats in the House voted with us, the Republicans, against this bill. And they're using this kind of, you know, parliamentarian processy procedure whereby they only have to get 51 votes in the Senate. So this is how they're getting it through. Usually the Senate filibuster at 60 would stop this, but you get to use this reconciliation package, which is just really in the weeds, but you get to at least once, maybe even twice a year. They may get another bite at it, and they're going to do it, and Kamala Harris is going to pass vote the deciding vote to pass this in the Senate, and they're just ramrodding it through. And I'm just disappointed because we really did work together, as you put the numbers out there over the last year to help people get through this pandemic, and to see only less than 9% of it going to really what I would consider COVID-19, still having a trillion floating out there that hasn't been spent, and to have this piece of partisan liberally package move through is disappointing to me. So
the thing about this is I think, you know, a lot of times you have both parties throwing this back and forth, but it's hard for me to believe if you would sit down in front of a group of American people and show them what's in this bill that would in no way, shape, or form qualify as COVID relief, I think they'd be outraged. I really do. And then you have the issue with most of the media, yeah, not paying attention to some of the particulars. So, I don't know how.
We'd work with them, Mark, on vaccines, supply, distribution, getting our schools open, but making sure if we're going to put the monies into the school, that actually they're going to find ways for those children that want to have in-classroom learning to go there. And I want to help our small businesses, especially in our restaurant and entertainment industries. I mean, those are the kinds of things that we would be willing to sit down in a heartbeat and work out. And we've done it time and time and time again. And here we are now with a package that, like I said, much of it doesn't even kick in, almost 50% of it, until well beyond what I hope will be a declaration that this pandemic is over. So this is just codifying a whole bunch of liberal programs that are, again, putting deficits and debt on your kids, my kids, my grandkids, you know.
Okay. Now, on the deficit, here's the deal. On the deficit debt stuff, that I think Republicans have lost the ability just a little bit in the last 4 years. But in principle, I'm someone who has consistently cared about that. Let me get one more question in here, Congresswoman, going back to the vaccines, there is a lot of concern in this area, in the St. Louis region, in your district, about the access to the vaccine. So what, and I know you mentioned this at the beginning of the interview, but what would you say to people still wondering, you know, how to get the vaccine, whether there's enough doses available? Because it looks like the people that are able, for the most part, able to get it, they've driven to Hannibal, if they've gone to St. Jen or something like that.
I know. I'm hearing these horror stories too.
What insight into that?
Well, I've been in touch with the governor, and I'm not pleased about it. They say we're getting our fair share, but I don't know why it is that a majority of constituents, or feels like a majority of constituents, are traveling to Southeast Missouri, or as you said, Northeast Missouri, or wherever to get a shot that they are qualified to get. Now we should have more on the market. We're getting about 125 million in the state each week, but those numbers need to rise. Johnson & Johnson has just been approved. That'll be a one and done kind of a shot. I'm not in favor, to be honest, of them holding off on Moderna and Pfizer's second shots. I think people need to get it as the protocols and the CDC and the FDA have set up. But yes, that is our biggest frustration. And if that, Mark, is where this money ought to be going, increasing our supply and the distribution network to make sure that it is easily and readily available and in people's arms. If they want one, if they qualify for one, they need to get one. So, yes, I have been very fired up about this. I want our teachers getting it. And a lot of our schools are open. You know, they may not need it, and they've been working without it. But you know what? I think they're on the front lines, too. I think our grocery workers, those folks that are delivering our mail and our packages and our pizzas, I mean, everybody who is out there interacting with people. Certainly our medical professionals have now, I hope, at least received one, and our vulnerable elderly or those with compromised health issues have gotten one, but everyone needs to get one. The numbers are looking good. We've turned a bit of a corner, I hope, but to get the full herd immunity, everyone must get a vaccine. They really should.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner, great to have you on. You enjoy this weekend. We will talk soon, perhaps on another station. How does that sound?
Oh, I'll have to have one more shot on KMOX with you, but I can't wait for you to move. That's really exciting, Mark. Congratulations to you and the whole team, and it's great for Glover, too. Well done.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Ann. We'll talk soon. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
It's Roger Daltrey's birthday today. He's 77 years old. I missed the Who when they came through the last time. If you remember correctly, I think there was a, wasn't there a vocal issue with either Roger Daltrey or Pete Townsend? And that was a show at the Opera House. Never seen the Who. That is definitely a bucket list. And I was talking to my friend Rick Nineroth in Vegas, who does the video chat with me every Tuesday morning. We'll do one tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. And you kind of have to wonder, just after all this wraps up with COVID, we're getting a lot more positive news. I see some artists that are planning some concerts, even at indoor venues. They're starting to open up in Vegas throughout the rest of the summer, maybe later in the year. But, you know, it's certainly one of those very complicated things moving forward, and you'd have to think that people are going to die. I hate to say it, but there's going to be some of these people that we won't get to see again because of the big break with COVID. And I'm not saying that The Who or Pete Townsend or Roger Daltrey is going to be amongst them, but you just have to wonder, and it makes me more than sad. All right, big radio trade today. It wasn't J.J. Watt to 97.1. It was Mark Reardon to 97.1 KFTK, and there's a player to be named later as well. Who's coming to KMOX? We'll fill you in all the details, 305. Coming up.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.